And from the KTOO Newsroom in Juneau, good afternoon. I'm Jennifer Pemberton. Thanks so much for listening. Lisa Murkowski has won re-election to the U.S. Senate, defying former President Donald Trump's promise to make her pay for voting to convict him at his second impeachment. After ranked choices were tabulated this afternoon, Murkowski got 53.7% of the vote. Kelly Shabaka, the candidate Trump endorsed, got 46.3%. Murkowski's total jumped after Democrat Pat Chesbro was eliminated. Murkowski got a large share of second-choice votes from Chesbro supporters. And Democrat Mary Peltola has won re-election to the U.S. House. With a massive lead in first-choice ballots, she came out nearly 10 points ahead of Republican Sarah Palin, with second- and third-choice rankings counted. It's an outcome that seemed highly improbable back in March when she filed to run for the seat that was held her entire life by Republican Congressman Don Young. Peltola, now 49, had little money or statewide name recognition. As late as July, almost a third of Alaskans surveyed had never heard of her. She was running against Palin and several other candidates who could quickly amass million-dollar campaign accounts. Peltola will be sworn in January 3rd when a new Congress begins. Republicans will take leadership of the House, so Peltola will be a member of the minority. And finally, incumbent Republican Governor Mike Dunleavy won a second term in office today after a final ballot count. Dunleavy won the election outright with 50.3% of the vote. Because he secured over half of the first-choice votes, the Division of Elections did not tabulate second- and third-choice votes in the race. Dunleavy is the only statewide candidate who won their race outright. Races for U.S. House and U.S. Senate were tabulated Wednesday afternoon. Dunleavy called it an affirmation of his leadership. He's the first Republican governor in Alaska in four decades to win re-election since Jay Hammond in 1978. The Division of Elections expects to certify the results next week. And all 29 of the Alaska judges up for retention elections this year are on track to secure another term. But over the decades, more Alaskans have been voting against letting state judges keep their jobs. As Alaska Public Media's Jeremy Shea reports, the trend suggests lots of qualified judges could be ousted in future elections, creating huge headaches in the justice system.
Most Alaskans vote like Teresa Cortez of South Anchorage.
Yeah, I don't know any of the judges. So I normally vote yes for all of them. Unless there's one that stands out that I, you know, that I've heard bad things from, then I don't vote.
But election results over several decades show a growing minority of Alaskans vote like Richard Ziggy Zeigler of downtown Anchorage.
Oh, I voted no for every one of them.
Yeah, and tell me why.
Why? Because I like fresh blood and because I think that we do need a turnover when it comes to judges.
He says he thinks judges burn out and lose their compassion over time. Zeigler lives in the 3rd Judicial District, which includes Anchorage, Matsu, the Kenai Peninsula, Kodiak, Bristol Bay, and the Aleutians. Unofficial results from this year's election show that judges in this population-heavy district were all retained, as usual, but by the narrowest margins in the state, in a state with the lowest margins in the nation. Statewide, judges' median approval rating is going to hit a record low this year. Most judges will be retained with less than 60% of the vote. What's harder to nail down is why more and more Alaskans are voting to fire judges. Political campaigns, pollsters, and the media tend to focus on the races at the top of the ballot. Here's statistician and researcher Albert Klump.
It's a very uniquely Alaskan thing.
Klump lives in Chicago, but he studies and tracks judicial retention elections nationwide.
And it seems to be more of an anti-system vote than anything to do with the judges themselves.
The judges this year, and in years past with few exceptions, got positive professional evaluations and recommendations from the Alaska Judicial Council. The nonpartisan council recommended retaining all of the judges on the ballot this year. Klump got interested in researching Alaska several years ago because there was concern in the legal community, especially in Anchorage.
Rates had been dropping over time and were approaching a level where it might be possible that an entire slate of judges could be wiped off the ballot by just a blanket no vote from enough people.
These judges make life-altering decisions on everything from crime and punishment to child custody to mundane traffic violations and property disputes. Klump's research makes it easy to compare Alaska to other states. And Alaska doesn't track with other politically conservative states, which tend to have the highest approval ratings for their judges. One thing that does stick out to Klump in Alaska is the push to rewrite the state constitution so Alaskans have a more direct role in picking judges. He thinks that campaign, partially embodied by the constitutional convention question this year, may have driven more people to vote against retaining judges than normal. Some justice system experts speculate that differences in Alaskans' political preferences over time and geography are behind the voting patterns. South Central is more conservative than the rest of the state, and some social conservatives have maligned Alaska's judicial selection and retention system. This year, the head of the Alaska Family Council urged Alaskans to vote against retaining all of the judges. He thinks the judiciary doesn't reflect the state's conservative lean. But if he got his way...
Well, I think it would wreak havoc in the system.
That's Michael Garrity. He was Alaska's attorney general during Republican Governor Sean Parnell's administration, and he wrote a column in the Anchorage Daily News before the election about judicial retention. He called blindly voting no on all judges extreme and urged voters to at least make informed decisions. In Anchorage, I'm Jeremy Shea.
As holidays go, Thanksgiving is fairly new. There was a time when there was no designated day to give thanks, when giving thanks was part of daily life. KNBA's Rhonda McBride looks at how Alaska Native languages offer a window not just to the past, but into the humanity and spirituality of gratitude.
Kuyana, kuyana, kuyana te luchi.
You're listening to a song from the Alutiiq Elders Academy called Kuyana, which means thank you. It's also the same word in the Yupik language, or Yuktun.
Kuyana.
For Asik Ayakayak, Kuyana is a word with deeper layers of meaning, one with roots from a culture of sharing food gathered from the land and the sea. Ossie grew up near Bethel in Shafornik, where, as a small child, he absorbed the true meaning of Kuyana.
As I got older, I was able to help my father more, and I watched him butcher seals that my brothers have caught, and then he would hand me the choice parts, which are the shoulders of the seal, and he would say, "Kita, give these to these elders."
As he carried the seal meat to his elders, Ossie remembers how his hands were full and how his heart overflowed with joy.
And I gently used my feet to knock on their door, and they would open up, and then they would, "Azai, alingarin kakuya nakfa, oh my, thank you so much."
Goodness, jeez.
Hune Lance Twitchell has dedicated his life to spreading knowledge about the languages and cultures of Southeast Alaska, where he teaches Tlingit.
I think the word has an ancient origin. There's a related verb, which would be like chichish, which would be for something to be possible. And so you could say something like, "Achtuch chichish, I believe it's possible."
As if to say, it wouldn't be possible without you. And that, says Hune, is more than just gratitude, but a form of acknowledgement.
Some of our elders, like the late Kingisti David Kansik, used to talk about the power of this phrase and how much emphasis and love you could put into it, sometimes by dragging out that last syllable, goodness, geez.
It isn't just a casual thank you. It's masicho. It means so much to me, your kindness.
Kay Wallace is Gwich'in, a traditional healer who believes Masi Cho carries great spiritual energy. She says her people's long history has shown that gratitude helps to heal from sickness and trauma and also survive hard times.
I'm 78, and so when I talk about my elders, most of them have passed, but they all remember hunger. They remember the starvation period. And then when somebody would just share a bone with them, a moose bone, caribou bone, or a piece of fish, masi cho.
Wallace says most of us today have never known such hardship and the importance of sharing what little you may have to give.
Masi cho. It meant so much. You're keeping me alive. You're keeping my family alive. Thank you. Thank you from my heart.
She says there was a time when gratitude was a way of life.
You thank the sun for coming up, for going down. Thank you for the light. You're so grateful for the light. Thank you, Creator. Masi cho, Creator.
Wallace says Thanksgiving is a forerunner of the solstice on December 21st, when the light returns. Light that radiates in words like Masicho or Goyana. In Anchorage, I'm Rhonda McBride. Gunashish.
And thank you for listening. This is KTOO News.